I read all the best Bitcoin content out there so that you can listen. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read with Guy Swan. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy with Guy Swan. That is me, your host. The guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know, and we are actually taking a quick break from Bitcoin because, we've got a scam to deal with. I wasn't sure if I was going to do an episode, but this really blew up on Twitter and in the Bitcoin space because everybody is so annoyed with Richard Hart and this Hex scam, and I've had a number of people ask me about it, and a good friend in the crypto economy crew, Goldman Sachs, actually did a lot of research and wrote a really good article on it. So we're actually just going to read that and then talk a little bit about it afterward. And hopefully we can then close the book on this ridiculous scam. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into Goldman Sachs, that's S-A-T-S, Medium article, Under a Hex. Fair warning, this is going to be a lengthy analysis, but I promise the payoff is worth it. I have seen several articles that call Hex a Ponzi or pyramid scheme, both of which it isn't. It has many features of these, but is unique in that it has so many moving parts and complexities that these have helped to mask just how unethical a project it is. While its creator, Richard Hart, promotes the token as being, quote, designed to increase in value faster than anything else in history, end quote, and, quote, to do over 10,000x returns in under 2.5 years, end quote, a deeper analysis shows Hex was designed for one thing only, to enrich Richard Hart himself at the expense of every other participant. Even in a sea of ethically dubious projects, Hex stands out as being the most egregious, though perhaps the most clever. Not only will Richard control close to half of all Hex after the first year, but it is the first token I have seen to have its founder's perpetual self-enrichment baked into the protocol. Hex is currently at the beginning of its year-long initial launch phase, after which virtually all of the Hex that will ever exist will have been distributed. During this period, participants can obtain Hex in two ways. They can purchase Hex by sending their Ethereum to something called the Adoption Amplifier, which functions as a recurring daily auction, or they can claim Hex for free by holding Bitcoin at a rate of 10,000 Hex per BTC. When it comes to the Adoption Amplifier, Richard is careful to avoid saying that you are purchasing Hex for Ethereum. As he terms it, you are donating your Ethereum, which is then being transformed into Hex. To cut through the confusion this language might cause, what is actually happening is that the ETH is not really being transformed in any meaningful sense. It still exists, it just doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to Richard. What you have instead is some token that Richard created and his promise that it will make you massively wealthy. Within the first 24 hours of launch, over $3 million in Ethereum has already been sent to the Adoption Amplifier, and given that this auction resets every day for the first 352 days, it seems likely that Richard will make well in excess of $100 million in Ethereum alone. In addition to the Ethereum he receives through the Adoption Amplifier, Richard designed Hex to give himself ownership of almost half of the coins through something called the origin address. If you go to Hex's website, however, you will not find any mention of this, not on the homepage or in the FAQ section. I encourage you to do a keyword search to test this for yourself. What you will see are a dizzying list of bonuses you can earn as an early staker of Hex, and promises of massive future returns, but no mention of the origin address, its implications, or the fact that Richard owns it. To even discover it exists, you would need to go to hex.win, Richard's official Hex website, click on the tab labeled Tech Specs, and then look under the Code subheading and click on the hyperlink Advanced Analysis of How Hex Works. That will then open a 22-page Google Doc entitled Hex Contract in Layman's Terms. And even if you did all of that, you would still need to read up to the bottom of page 14 of that document to find this. The origin address. The contract specifies an ETH address as the origin address. This address is paid hex by the contract in a few ways. The origin is paid half of all hex reclaimed by penalties, the other half going to the payout pool. The origin is paid a copy of all bonus payments, speed claim bonus, referral bonus, we are all Satoshi increments, critical mass virality bonuses. And even if you were a prospective hex investor who somehow did all of these steps and came across this, would it make sense to you? Even the name origin address sounds benign and boring. Perhaps if it was called the, quote, Richard gives himself almost half of all hex address, it would garner more attention. While it's impossible to know how much hex Richard will control at the end of the initial launch phase, or even how much hex there will be in total, by receiving a copy of all bonus payments, the origin address should hold roughly 45% of all hex, regardless of how things play out. If more Bitcoin holders free claim, the origin address will receive more speed claim and referral bonuses on the front end, as well as more critical mass virality bonuses at the end of the launch phase. If fewer Bitcoin holders claim, the origin address will receive more We Are All Satoshi bonuses that distributes all the unclaimed hex to stakers. If this sounds confusing and convoluted, it is designed to be. All the complexity and game theory serves not only to hook people in, but to disguise the full extent of Richard's self-enrichment. In this sense, hex could not be a more appropriate name. It works exactly like an elaborate magic trick, where the myriad of cleverly named bonuses, high interest, and addictive game theory serve as a mesmerizing misdirection. You end up looking where Richard wants you to look, and you miss reading the bottom of page 14 of a hidden Google Doc that reveals how hex is a rigged game. When Richard has been pressed on information about the origin address, he goes to lengths to stress that he doesn't own it, and he doesn't know who will own it. Listening to him describe it, you could think you'll wake up tomorrow to an unsolicited letter telling you you are the owner of the hex origin address. This is a lie. Richard designed hex, and the entity receiving both the Ethereum from the adoption amplifier and the hex from the origin address is either himself or an entity of his choosing, where he retains control. If you believe that Richard somehow created hex with this much self-enrichment baked in, only to then give control of the origin address to someone else, you are likely beyond the help of this article. It is worth mentioning that there is an added irony to Richard implementing what amounts to a hidden 45% founder's tax on hex's total supply. Over the years, he has been a vocal critic of projects like Zcash that employ a far more transparent founder's tax to fund development, viewing them as a disqualifying factor for investment. Tweet by Richard Hart. Zcash is 20% founder tax for 5 years. No thanks. End tweet. It is more staggering still when you consider how Richard presents the existence of Bitcoin whales as an existential threat. Tweet by Richard Hart. Few people know this about Bitcoin. Satoshi holds 6%. Exchanges, 5% plus. Mt. Gox bankruptcy, 1%. Plus token Ponzi, 1%. End quote. And markets hex as fixing this problem, and even being more egalitarian by getting rid of the whales in Bitcoin and redistributing their coins to smaller stakers. Tweet by Richard Hart. 42% of Bitcoin is held by addresses of 1,000 Bitcoin or more. Hex penalizes them 50 to 75% from 1,000 to 10,000 plus Bitcoin. Their penalties are paid to stakers on day 353 after being multiplied upwards by critical mass and virality adoption bonuses. End tweet. In reality, though, Richard has designed an ocean where he is the only whale, far bigger than any other whale in any other project, the lone, unkillable Moby Dick of Hex. Richard drinks your milkshake. So far, we've established that Richard will likely make over $100 million in Ethereum and control 45% of all Hex after the first year. Unlike in Bitcoin, where the high initial inflation rate quickly diluted Satoshi and other early adopters, Hex will only have at most a 3.69% annual inflation rate once the initial launch phase ends. So Richard's stake will never be diluted. In fact, with the bigger pays better bonus that pays large holders an additional 10% on their stake, his share of Hex will only increase over time. There is an additional benefit that the origin address receives, though, that may be even more significant than the benefit Richard receives from allotting himself 45% of the entire Hex supply. As the holder of the origin address, Richard gets paid half of all Hex reclaimed by penalties. While all of the bonuses and high interest rates are the carrots designed to get you to join Hex and stake your tokens, there are two penalties that function as sizable sticks. The first is that stakes cannot be ended prematurely without incurring a penalty equivalent to half the profit you would have made from staking for the entire period. This can even erode your capital. The second is if you leave your Hex unstaked, you forget about it, you go on holiday and can't access them, you get hit by a bus, another penalty mechanism kicks in and you start bleeding out as your Hex is gradually drained. If you've only perused the Hex website, you might think that all of this penalized Hex goes to stakers, but in reality, half of it is going to Richard's origin address, while the other half is divided amongst the pool of every other staked participant. But remember, Richard not only possesses the origin address, but will also comprise at least 45% of all the Hex in the staking pool after the first year. So, say someone ends their stake early and is penalized 1 million Hex, Richard receives 775,000 Hex himself, leaving only 225,000 coins to be divided amongst the thousands of other stakers. Unlike the bonuses in Hex, which expire after the initial launch phase, the penalties are a permanent part of the Hex smart contract. They will never expire, enriching Richard in perpetuity, sucking all the value away from you and accruing it to Richard himself. If Richard stakes all of his coins, there is seemingly no upper limit to how much Hex he could control within the first few years of the project. The more frightening prospect, though, is considering what will happen when Richard wants to cash out. While he could time his stakes to have over a billion Hex maturing every day to dump on the market, Richard could also emergency unstake his coins at any time. Since he gets paid half of all penalties, he can break his stake to sell and only pay half the penalty of everyone else in the network. Not only that, but when others see the price falling from Richard selling and emergency unstake their own coins to get out while they still can, half of their penalized Hex is funneled directly to Richard's origin address, reinflating the bags of the very guy who dumped on them and crashed the price. Richard could even dump all of his Hex and abandon project, and his origin address would still gradually refill over time with everyone else's penalized Hex, a zombie whale back from the dead. Even if you trust Richard and don't believe he will do any of this, it illustrates the power Richard has, demolishing Hex's already broken game theory. By participating in Hex, you are not only enriching and enabling Richard Hart, but you are putting yourself completely at his mercy. He has created a game, given himself most of the chips, and made it so that the rules will always be in his favor. It is a game you cannot win, even though it might seem like you can, and Richard will tell you to stake it till you make it. You can't. If you purchase Hex, you lose financially. If you free claim Hex with Bitcoin, you lose integrity because you are sanctioning a charlatan. This is not the scam you were looking for. What makes Hex so effective is that it doesn't fit neatly into any category of scam. It's not quite a pyramid, a Ponzi, or a multi-level marketing scheme, though it certainly has elements of all of them. It's something entirely new, which allows it to pass through the internal cognitive firewall most people have that they use to determine whether or not they are being conned. Richard is aware of how Hex looks, and especially how he's marketing it, so he has taken to saying, "Hey, I know that my token might look and quack like a duck, but I promise you, it's not a duck. Sure, I'm using the tactics that scams use, and I'm enriching myself in the same manner as anyone running a scam would. And I have baked my continual self-enrichment into the protocol of my token. But I promise you, this is a legitimate project, and I am a respected member of the crypto community." Hex is such an egregious scam that at times it seems like surreal performance art, or the world's most lucrative troll. And one day, I'm sure it will become a humorous story we tell our kids from the crazy days of crypto. "So, a long time ago, there was this guy on Twitter who wore a magician's top hat and created his own cryptocurrency called Hex, and he secretly gave himself half of it." It might even be funny now, if not for the tragedy that so many are falling for it. The scam to end all scams. Sadly, very few people who are actually vulnerable to being hexed are likely to read this article, no matter how widely it gets shared. Richard said it best himself in a particularly taunting tweet from 2 days after Hex's launch. Quote from Richard Hart: "You only have three options to stop scams. One, enforcement. Understaffed and reactive, rarely gets money back. Two, warn people. You can't reach them and they don't listen. Three, starve the scams of resources by outcompeting them with a better sales pitch for an honest project. Can't work." End quote. While I am entirely against government intervention here, and shudder at the tweets tagging the SEC in conversations about Hex, I would urge everyone, especially the more prominent crypto figures, to speak out. From that, what I hope will occur is a more bottom-up emergence of norms around how we treat scams and those that deal in them. Hex could ultimately be a value by serving as a shelling point. Hex could ultimately be a value by serving as a shelling point for this industry, the thing everyone can agree is a scam and converge around, limiting the fallout. All right, and that will finish out Under a Hex by Goldman Sachs. The Twitter tag is Too Wumbo to Fail. I will link to all this stuff in the show notes so you can check out, drop some applause on this article, and thank him for putting this together, and obviously follow him on Twitter as well. So let's go ahead and take a break and hit our sponsor, and we'll jump back in and talk about this piece. Man, I used to feel bad for Richard Hart. I don't know if anybody saw, I don't even know why the guy's made bukus of money. I don't know how much he lost. He didn't really say, or at least not in the little bit that I saw. But I mean, he lasted through the 2013 spike, and then 14, 15, and 16 bear market. He had that video where he broke down on YouTube, and everybody was kind of giving him shit about it because he was like, "I'm not gonna do this again. I'm not gonna hold through another bear market. I'm so sick of losing money." And I mean, it seemed clear that he made a bet and was not playing the hodl game like a lot of us. So I don't know. I don't really know his situation, but I at least felt bad for him when I watched that video. And And then he even said in the thing, like, this, and this is kind of why, like, what his position is kind of makes sense to me. Like, I think it's horrifically unethical and ridiculous, as far as, like, this is his way out to, you know, make all this money. But he even said it's, like, not fair that, like, all these scams and bullshit tokens and stuff are making millions and millions of dollars when, you know, the real projects or whatever aren't, you know, are in a bear market or whatever. They're just pulling money from people. And, you know, I can see that. Like, I totally understand that perspective. I'm like, how unbelievably unfair, A, is it that they're profiting massively off these scams and just complete garbage nonsense projects? That all these idiots are blindly going in and throwing their money at all of this stuff. But that is not an excuse to become a scammer. Like, this, like I lose all, like, I could not have less respect for you now that you're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to scam. Like I'm just going to give up all of my ethics. And more digging into his history, the more I'm like, oh, well, he's kind of had this level of ethics the whole time. He's got a history with spamming that I didn't know about. And Goldman Sachs, actually, in our crypto economy crew, has done a lot of work, like, digging into this thing and also digging into Richard's history. And I have just, like, this is one of the most blatant scams I have seen in a while in this place. And the fact that people are defending this on Twitter, I don't know if these are paid accounts or just completely hopeless people. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. I don't know what to call it or how to define why someone would want to try to explain this away. But an honest project is one that, like, the way these systems are designed is that everyone should have the exact same rules to play by. Like, that's why, so you know, Satoshi doesn't control Bitcoin. That's why you know Bitcoin is independent, because there is nothing in the protocol, there is nothing in the consensus rules that makes Satoshi any different from any other person. Satoshi is just as restricted and limited as to what he can do within the Bitcoin network as everyone else. There is no president, there is no founder fee, there is nothing. The rules are 100% distributed and fair. Everyone plays by the exact same rules. There is nobody that can get extra points in this game that isn't freely available to everyone else. It's all based on mutual trade and a fundamentally objective and universal set of rules. And what Hart has created could not be further from the exact, like, just the polar perfect opposite of this, is that everything about Richard's position in the network is 100% the rules that apply to him and the rules that apply to everyone else. And the ridiculous cop-out, laughable workaround of, well, I don't even know who the origin address is, and I don't, like, he wrote the whole thing. There's no way it can be anyone other than him, because he has to delegate it, if nothing else. And who's he going to delegate it to? Particularly when he's just dodging the question, when he's saying, oh, I don't know, we don't know. Does he think we are stupid? Obviously he does. Obviously that's exactly what he thinks, is that everybody's just an idiot. I mean, everything funnels back to him. I mean, think about, like, how the adoption amplifier works, is that you're donating Ethereum into the adoption amplifier, which is pumping up the perceived price of or the ratio for the amount of ETH versus the amount of HEX that you get out of the adoption amplifier. But it's going to the origin address, right? So Richard is the only one that can put his own Ethereum into the adoption amplifier and dilute what everyone else gets and pump up, give the perception of pumping up the price of HEX or pumping up the perceived value of HEX through this adoption amplifier by paying himself. And all that ETH goes to him. All that ETH goes to the origin address. all this whole thing, every single, I've never seen something with so many convoluted working pieces in which every single piece of it has some tweak, some little trick built into it to pay him. That's the only consistent piece of the entire system, is that it's going to figure out some way to pay him. No matter what you do, you're paying Richard. There is no, it's like one of those things like fractional reserve, or it's like kind of like trading in general. It's a zero-sum game. The only winner that could possibly come out of it is Richard Hart. The entire thing is designed so that even if 10 people who participate in this ridiculous scam somehow make some money, that they end up screwing the greater fool of everybody else who gets who buys into this this hex. Even if some of them make money, the entire thing is built in such a way that Richard is going to make more money than them. He's going to make money off of their participation and the fact that they made money. So if anyone makes money, Richard is also making money. If for everyone that loses money, Richard is making money. For everyone who does nothing but redeem their airdrop tokens, Richard makes money. Every single piece of this pays Richard somehow. There's nothing universal. There's nothing remotely fair about it. It's, and he's actually selling it. This is actually being argued by some people. Again, maybe they're just bots, and I hope that they're just fake accounts. It would make me feel so much better to find out that most of these things were just fake accounts. But this is actually a legitimate competitor to some of these other projects. This has nothing. There's nothing here. This can't be used for anything. This is an elaborate way to lock up shit. You can't use this as a currency. This isn't a money. This isn't a smart contract network. This is nothing. This is nothing but a way to funnel Ethereum to Richard. That's the only thing the entire system does. It is a Rube Goldberg machine of taking your money. I don't know. I thought about not even doing an episode about this, just because, I mean, Richard's point is almost right in the blatant how you deal with scams, which is so ridiculous that he doesn't even seem concerned with the fact that it's an obvious scam. I mean, he knows exactly what his project is, obviously. So clearly he's not concerned with it. He spent a very long time designing the thing just as it is, and he knows what it's there to do. There could not be anything more clear as a project that is good for absolutely nothing but paying Richard a lot of money. And it does nothing else. So, and then the fact that he posts almost just arrogantly, like he's challenging people to, as to what you can do about scams. And, you know, like, the only option is to just try to call attention to it, right? But at the same time, you may be funneling more people into this stupid thing. And, you know, so, like, I kind of was like, do I even do something about this? But I actually have, I think we've grown in immunity to some of these things. I think scams are getting less and less profitable. And I'm very, very happy to report that after the first couple of days where he got, like, I think $4 million or $5 million in ETH, it has literally dropped like a rock. And there is barely any money going into it anymore. So with a little blip right there at the beginning of it, there's basically nothing else to show for it. And Goldman Sachs prediction that if this continued for not even an incredibly long amount of time, but that the possibility that he could get $100 million in ETH out of this, I'm happy to say that it doesn't look like that's the case. So there are always some fools to take money from, and I don't think that will ever be, I don't think that will ever not be the case, but there is a serious and painful process of maturation in economies like this, and like you saw it in the dot-com bubble and stuff, is people didn't know how to value these things. We got 2017 ICO and altcoin bubble. Like, people don't know what's worth what and why any of these things exist. And nobody, this one is no different, really. Is that it catches the people who are, you know, left in the wings, or the noobs that just have no idea what they're doing as they get into it. And unfortunately, that market will probably never go away, but it will continually shrink with time. And I would like to see, you know, what Goldman Sachs says, is maybe this does become some sort of a standard for like how to treat scams, or maybe even how to identify scams. Yeah, hopefully some good comes out of this, outside of just a lot of innocent and unfortunately naive people losing a ton of money. And you know, like, there was a time where I felt bad for Richard Hart and however his situation might have been, but that could not be further gone now. I guess he didn't care about his reputation or being influential in the space, and actually being someone who is trustworthy and ethical. And you know, this is ridiculously high time preference. I think that's what this is for him. I mean, if you believe in the concept of a real world proof of work, like, this could not be a better proof of work that Richard has little to no conscience or ethics. He is incredibly high time preference, does not care about the positive change, does not care about being a part of the positive change that Bitcoin can bring to the world, does not care about his own reputation, whether his impact is deeply negative on the people that he interacts with or the ecosystem as a whole, and clearly doesn't care about the people he is working so diligently to cheat out of their money. He is a high time preference Keynesian through and through, here to make as much money as possible, as fast as possible, from whatever idiot he can take it from, wrapped in a thinly veiled crypto package. And he has lost any amount of respect or care that I had for him. And this will likely be the last time I ever bring him up on the podcast. I think we would do well to simply forget that he exists. All right, so I would like to thank Goldman Sachs, too wumbo to fail, for putting this together and reading through that document, which I kind of skimmed in post reading this, just to, you know, confirm a couple of details. And I'll actually link to that so that you guys can check out the full document as well. And obviously, I will link to this article so you can drop it some major applause on Medium. And do not forget to follow Too Wumbo to Fail on Twitter. And I will have all of this in the show notes so that you can easily get to it. And of course, in the Twitter post as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will catch you all back here tomorrow. This is The Crypto Economy with Guy Swan. And if you want to learn all about Bitcoin and the crypto economy ecosystem and the amazing good that this can provide, the unbelievable potential for our future that this is leading us into, this is where you want to be. This is The Crypto Economy. This is where we read about all of the concepts. We learn about everything in the foundations of this, and we learn about the ethics and the ideology and philosophy that birthed this new space, and why we should be incredibly critical about who we interact with and how we interact with this space. That's The Crypto Economy. I am Guy Swan. Don't forget to subscribe and share this show out with everybody you know in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space, particularly to make sure they don't get hit by a bunch of charlatans. And I love you all. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take it easy, guys. We'll be right back.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.